Rise. Oyez, 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 the Honorable Court of Appeals for the Third District of the State of Texas, sitting in Austin, now in session.
Thank you. Good morning. Y'all can be seated. Good morning. Welcome to the Third Court of Appeals. Justice, my colleagues and I are happy to have you here. Justice Rosa Theofanis, this is her first oral argument today. We're so thrilled to have her. And also Justice Triana, we welcome the litigants as well as the students from Westlake High School. Thank you very much for coming today. We look forward to our visit after the oral argument today. Today we have cause number 0321408, TXI Operations LP versus the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. This morning the oral argument will be 20 minutes aside. Typically the appellant takes 15 minutes as an opening, then the appellee will take 20 minutes, and then the appellant typically reserves 5 minutes for rebuttal. I don't see our time clock. Is it up here somewhere? It's normally here.
No time limits today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Judge Triana, let's please not go there. All right.
We'll be here all morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And so once you see the yellow light, you'll have 2 minutes in your argument, and then the red means that you need to wrap up pretty quickly. Obviously, we're happy to provide you with additional time if you're in the midst of a statement or something of that nature. This morning, also, this matter is being audio recorded as well as broadcast via YouTube. All of that will be available later if you wish, in your viewing pleasure, in your downtime, to also check it out again online. But this morning I'd like to take announcements of ready from each side. If I could get introductions from the appellant.
Your Honor, Chris Smith on behalf of TXI Operations.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Your Honor, Mark Steinbach here on behalf of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Steinbach. Nice to meet you. Mr. Smith, if you are ready to proceed, you may take up the podium.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. TXI owns and operates concrete batch plants across the state of Texas. Concrete is a product that's actually combines Portland cement, water, and aggregates like sand and gravel, combines them together at a batch plant. At the batch plant, they're loaded into concrete trucks, which are with the mixing drums, which we see rolling around towns. And from there, the concrete is taken to construction sites where it's used in foundations, roads, and all sorts of other parts of our infrastructure. Because once you mix the concrete, it has a limited life, the concrete batch plants have to be sited near where there's development. And so we have concrete batch plants all across the state and in our cities, particularly in suburbs where there's a lot of development. Concrete batch plants, they produce dust, which technically is referred to as particulate matter. And therefore they require authorization under the Texas Clean Air Act from the TCEQ. There are different types of authorizations, which range from, on the one end, the most stringent end, a individual permit, which is where the TCEQ looks at a specific facility and drafts a permit specific to that facility. On the other end, there are things called permits by rule, which are simply authorizations in the Texas Administrative Code, where if you meet the requirements, you're covered. In the middle, we have something called a standard permit, and that's where there are specific enumerated requirements that an applicant must meet, but the applicant has to actually apply to TCEQ. The TCEQ has to issue the standard permit for that applicant. For concrete batch plants, there are two types of standard permits. There's the original standard permit, which was promulgated back in 2000. And in my brief, that's what I refer to as the regular standard permit. That permit is less stringent, but it is subject to the contested case rules. So a protestant who doesn't like that application has a right to go to a contested case hearing. In 2003, the legislature authorized TCEQ to issue an enhanced controls standard permits for concrete batch plants. It's codified in section 382.05198 and 99 of the Clean Air Act, and as its name suggests, it involves more stringent environmental controls than the regular permit. The technical requirements are listed in section 5198, and there's a lot of them. The one that's at issue in this case is a requirement that the baghouse of the proposed facility, and the baghouse is actually a control device which takes exhaust air and dust is captured by bags, but that baghouse has to be at least 440 yards from any, quote, building used as a single or multifamily residence, school, or place of worship. The enhanced controls permit is not subject to a contested case hearing provision, but there is a public hearing that has to take place. And 35 days after the public hearing, the executive director of TCEQ is required to either approve or deny the permit. And if it's a denial, the ED has to state the reason for the denial. So TXI applied for an enhanced controls standard permit to construct a concrete batch plant in Collin County in June of 2019. In October of 2019, there was a public hearing. And at this hearing, a gentleman by the name of Nicholas Knopp submitted an affidavit which claimed that his parents, when they weren't traveling in their motorhome, resided in a building on his property within that 440-yard threshold.
But in addition, Mr. Smith, didn't he also give oral testimony to that effect, and wasn't TXI there, and was there any comment by TXI at that point?
That is correct, Your Honor. He did give oral testimony. TXI was there, and TXI, frankly, was caught off guard because this was the first mention of this, the first time they became aware of this allegation. Mm-hmm. I do want to clarify that there's no dispute that the building in question is within the 440 yards. But yes, that was the first time TXI became aware of that. I do want to point out, though, that in the ED's denial letter, the only thing that was referenced was the affidavit. It did not reference Mr. Knopp's oral testimony or any other oral testimony or comments given at that public hearing.
And was that affidavit filed in a public record that was accessible to TXI right after the hearing?
So TCEQ takes the comments that are recorded, mm-hmm. and then they are put on a database. It takes a few days. I don't exactly know how long that. It's not immediate. It's a few days later. I can tell you that at the hearing, TXI was obviously alarmed by this, and we started our own investigation, which included Public Information Act requests to Collin County to find out more about this building, and sending somebody out to take a look at what this building actually was. The TCEQ executive director also sent someone out 3 days after the hearing, one of their own inspectors, and that's in the brief, and you've probably seen mm-hmm. her picture.
Before we leave the subject of the affidavit, I wanted to ask, I think your briefing says that TXI didn't obtain a copy of the affidavit until after the decision by the ED, and yet TCEQ says that it could have been easily obtained during that time period. So how would you explain that?
So that it is correct that TXI did not obtain it afterwards. I don't know. I can't answer exactly when that document went up on the database. It went up a few days later. What I can say is TXI was aware of the allegations as verbally. It became aware of it and had started its investigation. But we hadn't got all these documents back and stuff prior to the denial letter. So the denial letter came out, I believe it was 14 days after the hearing, which was about 20 days prior to the deadline for the executive director to issue the decision. And so we were still gathering information when this denial letter came out.
But is it your position that TXI did not know anything about the residential or the alleged residential property until the hearing?
That's correct.
And do you know, is it true, I believe that the state has said that the affidavit was actually filed with the I guess, the chief of the clerk's office before. Do you know whether that is true?
The date of the affidavit is the 14th, which is the same date as the hearing. So I think it was filed. Mr. Steinbach may be able to address this better than I can, but my understanding is TCEQ takes the comments from the meeting, files them, and then they're posted.
Okay.
So TXI's investigation produced these other documents, including septic system applications and other things, which seem to contradict what's in the affidavit, because they represent this building as a garage with one bathroom, with this septic system that's six times too small to be a residence under TCEQ standards. TXI filed a motion to overturn, which is the internal appeal process where you appeal the executive director's appeal to the TCEQ commissioners. The Office of Public Interest Counsel and staff responded, and they argued mainly that the commissioners can't consider TXI's appeal because TCEQ's procedural rules don't allow for an internal appeal of the standard permit. And I'd like to address that issue first, because I think that's really the threshold question before the court, is what is the decision you're reviewing? Are you reviewing the ED's denial, or are you reviewing the TCEQ's commissioner's denial?
And Mr. Smith, I'd really like for you to drill down on that, because to me it's six of one and a half a dozen of the other. You've got the ED that said you don't get your permit because of this affidavit that says the residence is there. Then you file briefing and they make an argument, whether you like their argument or not, they make one. It goes to the commission, and just like a motion for a new trial in the trial court, the commission takes no action, and so therefore the ED's decision stands. So what does it matter? I mean, what does it matter whether I'm looking at a commission that said, no, I'm not going to act on your motion because I don't think it has any merit, and so therefore by operation of law, the ED decision stands, or I agree with you, I agree with the state and go, no, it's really the ED decision, which is still the same thing as the denial of the commit by the commission. So I don't get the significance of spending, I think, 10 or 15 pages in each of y'all's briefs on that particular issue.
Great question. So it matters for a couple of reasons. First is the evidence that was before the commission is different than the evidence that is before the ED, because the evidence before the commission included the additional documents that TXI found through its investigation.
Okay, and that gets to substantial evidence. And yes, you said yourself, TXI's evidence is contradictory to the other guy's evidence. Okay. But so, if it's contradictory and all we've got is substantial evidence, we've at least got evidence on the TCEQ side. You don't like their evidence, but it still says he's got a residence. You say he doesn't. They believed he did. So how do we not have to go to the substantial evidence?
Yes, and I don't think the court needs to even address the substantial evidence, because here's why. With the record, we don't know whether the commissioners looked at everything and said, no, we agree with staff, or whether they said, we are not even going to consider this because there's not a right for TXI to appeal. If they did the latter thing, that's a denial of our due process rights, because we don't know. We're entitled to at least have our appeal heard, and I think that's where the Clean Air Act statute that says an aggrieved person, an applicant, has a right to have their appeal of this heard by the commissioners. That's a statute, that's a right that we have. And if they didn't consider it on a procedural ground because of the staff's interpretation of the TCEQ's procedures in the administrative code, then we were not afforded that.
But I guess more to the chief's point, which is, okay, so if we sent it back, let's say that we agree with you. And I have to tell you, this is very interesting. Having been a district judge doing administrative law, it's not often that we have this procedure where the state is saying, oh, no, you know, that's all you get is just the EDs. You don't have to exhaust administrative remedy, and somebody arguing, oh, no, but we do, and we we have a right for the commission to tell us what their thoughts are. So let's assume that we go with your thinking. Isn't the due process, so if there's a violation of due process, the remedy is more due process. So you get to, your client gets to have judicial review in which all of the information comes in, and a district judge decides, okay, there's, you know, substantial evidence. So is it, you're wanting us to send it back so that the commission will say yay or nay, either, you know, we are going, we're fine with what the ED did and affirm, I don't know what the verbiage would be, and then repeat the process all over again?
That's correct, and the reason is, if the TCEQ commissioners are not required to consider the appeal from the executive director, then there's no mechanism for redress. Because if you guys send it back, the commission, they might reach a different conclusion with that express direction that yes, you have to consider it. It's possible that they wouldn't. It's possible that they would look at it and as the chief mentioned, just say no, we're going to stick with our guns and stay the affidavit, and I might be back here in 3 years arguing substantial evidence. But to my client, the greater problem here is the procedural problem, because not only does it affect this plant, it affects future applications under this program. Because without an instruction that the commission has to consider the appeal, there's no redress. There's nothing to stop someone from coming in who doesn't like a permit application, making an allegation, whether it's true or not, if the applicant doesn't have the chance to present new evidence and have that really considered on its merits by the commission.
So is that an argument that you just think it needs a contested case hearing, really? That's the problem, is we didn't get a contested case hearing.
We didn't have a contested case hearing for this. Yeah. But I do think that the fact that the legislature provided for this appeal to the commissioners, that's a safeguard. That's a safeguard for this kind of situation where you have something coming in at the last minute, dubious allegation. There has to be an opportunity to have that additional evidence considered by the agency. And so that's really our main argument here, is that you don't have to get to the substantial evidence. It should be sent back to TCEQ with an instruction that the commissioners consider it, because then at least we know that they have.
Two questions. One, was there an opportunity for that to happen in the roughly two-week time period before the director issued his ruling? And also, just to make sure, your position is that 382.061 applies and gives you the right to appeal. And do you have a position about 50.131(c)(1) as it applies in this case? Do you think it applies, and
okay,
how?
I'm out of time.
And I'm going to give you an additional time, okay, to answer that question. Yes, sir.
If I can address your first question, was there time in that two-week interval between the hearing and then when they find? There was not time, because this was a new allegation, and we needed some time to gather to investigate it, just like the TCEQ executive director did. And we moved expeditiously on that, but it takes some time to do that research. So there was not practically enough time for us to do that. As soon as we got the information back, we filed our motion to overturn within the period that the rules allow. With respect to your second question, yes, we think that 061 from the Clean Air Act controls this case over the general judicial review provision in the Water Code, and the reason, and they're different. If you look at the two statutes, the one in the Clean Air Act says that you can review a decision of the commission or the executive director if an appeal to the commission is not provided. It's different wording in the Water Code, so we don't think that Water Code general judicial review clause should trump over the specific judicial review clause of the Clean Air Act.
That
answer.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
Judge,
go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Last question. So, you know, in the city of Austin versus TCEQ, this court, you know, basically said that it's final and appealable if it imposes an obligation, denies a right, or fixes some legal relationship as consummation of the administrative process. We also went to this, go on to say that, you know, a motion to overturn, which is expressly denied, not even just by operation of law, is not a final appealable decision subject to judicial review. How do you argue that that does not, if not expressly, impliedly, state that the ED, an undisturbed ED decision, is not final and appealable?
I think the differences are, one, that the City of Austin case was not decided under the same statute. But to your point, I think in this case, in this instance, in this administrative record, the record that was before the commissioners is different than the record that was before the ED. Because the ED didn't have the benefit, frankly, of the additional information that we discovered. They had the benefit of their own investigation, which they didn't act on. But I think because of that, what was in front of the commissioners was different than what was in front of the ED. And I think that changes it with respect to what should have been considered and the due process rights of the applicant.
Great.
Thank you, Counsel. And Mr. Staubach, look forward to hearing your argument. And Mr. Staubach, before you even begin, I want to make sure that we kind of have an opportunity to respond to that, but I certainly want to not ignore your positions on the residence definition. I know you spent quite a bit of time on permanent, secondary residence by definition under Webster's. I definitely want to hear from you on that as well, and I assume I'll hear some of that on rebuttal.
Will do, yes. Thank you, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. And may it please the Court. Your Honors, my opposing counsel is correct that resolving this case really depends upon identifying the final appealable decision that is subject for judicial review in this case. And as has been discussed, really the only final decision is the executive director's decision. That's the decision that fixed TXI's rights with respect to this permit. And the Court should affirm that decision.
I'm going to interrupt you right there.
Okay.
So is it the state's position, like they argued down, or at least to the commission, that TXI has no right to appeal an ED opinion, an ED decision?
No, it's our position that they do have the right to the appeal to the commissioners. I just want to clarify.
Is that yes, to the yes. commissioners.
The appeal to the commissioners, we agree. It's a right provided by statute, and they exercise that right in this case.
Okay, and are y'all arguing that they are not required to, they have it available, are they required in order to exhaust administrative remedies, are they required to appeal it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we think any administrative remedy must be exhausted before a party can seek judicial review, and that would include that statutory right.
And just to follow up on that, so in your brief you state that it's ambiguous whether that appeal should be called a motion to overturn. What alternative, what are you suggesting that they should have done or filed?
Yes, that's a good point, Justice Theofanis. Appeal to the commissioners, perhaps. I'm not sure. I might style it something like that. But we do acknowledge that there does seem to be an ambiguity because the rules seem to say that there is no motion to overturn for this type of permit, but the statute says there is. And in that case, I think the statute controls. And if it's not styled a motion to overturn, it can be styled an appeal to the commissioners.
And one final point on this issue. So the state has no objection. I know that y'all had they did an initial appeal thinking, okay, they're arguing that we don't even have this process going to the commission. So they filed a judicial appeal then. And then by operation of law, the commission took no action, and so the ED stands. Then they filed a second petition. The state's not arguing that they could go all the way to that second petition before they ever needed to file judicial review. They had all that time because they needed to exhaust their administrative remedies to get through the commission, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And we just consolidated the two lawsuits.
Right. But I just wanted to make sure that you were standing on all fours, that you were okay with them waiting until the commission took no action and it became final. Well, the ED's decision in your position is standing?
That's right. That's okay. Right, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
And so, just, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But to, if they were to have called it an appeal, you're not arguing that that would have changed anything in our analysis, are you?
If they called the motion to the commissioners an appeal, right, I'm saying that would not change anything.
Correct. Right. You're still, regardless of what they called it, we don't need to be hung up whether it was called a, you know, a motion to, or an appeal versus a motion to overturn.
Yes.
But did the state take the position in front of the commission that they couldn't hear it because it was a motion to overturn by statute?
Right. The executive director and I believe the Office of Public Interest Counsel included arguments that there was not a motion to overturn, and they cited to that rule. I think it's 50.131. But they did not address the statute. And I'm not sure what their position would be on the statute. But Your Honor, as previously discussed, it is like a motion for new trial. And that really gets to the problem here, is that you cannot wait until your motion for new trial to really put on your case in chief, which is really what they have attempted to do here. What you get judicial review of is the executive director's decision. And City of Austin versus TCEQ, it controls here.
So is there any discovery mechanism prior to the public hearing that TXI should have gone through to confirm for themselves that the three structures that were within 440 yards of the bag area were not or were residences? Is that what the process would have been? There would be, because he says they were surprised at the public hearing that for the first time this thing that looks like a garage, a metal garage, is being claimed as a residence.
Right, well, we certainly understand that. But I would point out there is no discovery in these types of proceedings. And I think it's also important to note that TXI itself chose this type of expedited permitting process in which there is no contested case hearing, there's no evidentiary hearing, no discovery. And generally, that benefits applicants. They like to be able to do that. This permit is intended to be a kind of, you know, very quick, you know, uncontested matter where you show that you've demonstrated everything and you know there's a public meeting on it, but there's no contested case. It's frankly not well designed to handle factual disputes. Factual disputes are handled at SOA through a contested case process.
And so they had the choice.
That's right.
For a concrete batch, you can choose either or. You don't
That's
have
right.
to go through this.
It was their choice to choose this procedure. And we're surprised that there is a factual dispute apparently about this residence. The way that it's resolved is that it's just the executive director's decision. The executive director has to weigh that evidence and decide, is there a residence here or not? And I would also point out that it's the applicant's burden here. They're the ones seeking a permit. They have to demonstrate that there isn't a residence. And so under these facts, the executive director's decision is clearly passes substantial evidence, simply based on the affidavit, but also based on the oral testimony. At the time the executive director made the decision, there was no controverting evidence from the applicant. So that easily passes the substantial evidence standard. I also wanted to address the judicial review issue because this is also important. TXI takes the position that it cannot obtain judicial review of the executive director's decision under the Texas Clean Air Act, and that is simply wrong. That decision is reviewable under 382.032. And this court has long recognized that ED issued permits under this new source review program are reviewable under this statute. The predecessor of this statute goes back to the 1970s, and we cited the Texas Air Control Board versus Travis County for that proposition. And the court held that so long as you exhaust your administrative remedies, you can get judicial review of an ED issued permit. And that has been the case for decades. The problem is that they are relying upon a 1993 amendment to the Texas Clean Air Act that has nothing to do with these new source review permits. It was all about implementing a Title V permitting scheme in Texas. And it did two important things to do that. Number one, it made a change to 382.061 to exempt those new Title V permits from that interagency review process that we've been talking about. And then it added language to 382.032 to ensure that those Title V permits would be directly reviewable in district court. And so that's where this language comes from that TXI is hanging its hat on, where it says, or of the executive director if an appeal to the commission is not provided. That's the legislature identifying those Title V permits and making sure that those are reviewable. This comes across clearly. I just want to emphasize this, Your Honor. In the legislative history, it is absolutely clear that this was the legislature's purpose. In the bill analysis to House Bill 2049, they say expressly that that's what they were trying to do with this amendment. So the context shows it was not intended to abolish judicial review for permits. It was intended to add judicial review for a new type of permit. And I also want to point out on this point that the kind of the absurdity of TXI's position, they're basically arguing themselves out of judicial review altogether under this argument about the Texas Clean Air Act, because there is no, as we've discussed, there is no judicial review of a motion to overturn. And if there's also no judicial review for the executive director's decision, well, then they're left with nothing. And that's clearly not the legislature's intent here. So we think there is judicial review under 382.032, and if there isn't, 5.351 is kind of a backstop. It provides, of the Water Code, it provides judicial review of executive director and commission acts where other statutes don't. And that's what the legislature intended. They wanted there to be judicial review of permitting decisions, and they provided ample opportunity for that in the statutes. Now, I'm also going to address the residents' question, Your Honor. On that question, it's not a term defined in the Texas Clean Air Act, and so we think that it's appropriate to just apply the plain language of that term. And we cited to a case that applied Black's Law Dictionary's definition of that term, which is important because it is the definition of that term without qualification, simply a residence. It is simply, under that definition, a person's dwelling place or place of habitation. And since the term that appears in this statute is without qualification, that's the appropriate definition to apply. And it has also been applied in other statutes. I believe the other one where we found it applied was a statute in the property code governing executory contracts for real estate purposes. But the key here is that it's just residence. It's not permanent residence. It's not secondary residence. It's just plain a residence. And the legislature was trying to be very broad in providing protections under this statute for any residents. The testimony of Mr. Knopp and his affidavit clearly meet that definition. There is ample evidence to meet that definition of a residence. He talks about the fact that this building has one or more bedrooms, bathrooms, living areas, and a kitchen, and that his parents reside in this building when they're not traveling in their RV. The investigation that TCEQ did was simply inconclusive on the matter. They sent an investigator out to look at these structures, but no one was there. They couldn't get access to, actually find out what's going on. They couldn't talk to anyone. And so in the final analysis, I think their investigation doesn't tip the balance one way or the other. But there's certainly more than a scintilla of evidence here, which is the standard of review that the court should apply to find a residence based on Mr. Knopp's affidavit, which again is what the ED had before him in making this decision.
At this public hearing, if TXI had done their due diligence in submitting their affidavit prior, or not their affidavit, I apologize, their application for this permit, could they have testified, no, we sent out our, had they done this in advance, could they put their investigator on and say, here, we've got these pictures, it really looks like a garage, it is a garage, and it's not really a residence. Would they have had that ability at the public hearing, just like Mr. Knobbs had the ability to give oral testimony to the executive director?
That's a very good question, Your Honor. I'm not sure of TCEQ's process on that. I hesitate because it's a public hearing. It's intended to for there to be public comment. If the applicant wanted to controvert those statements, I would say the best way to do that was to directly communicate with staff. And that's another important point about this process that I want to emphasize to the court. these permits are an iterative process. It's not like you mail in an application and sit back and wait for your permit to come. There's a back and forth that happens throughout the process. They send an application, they have a permit reviewer look at it, oh, this, you know, this is flawed, you know, please fix these errors, and they go back and forth. There's simply no reason they couldn't have done that in this case.
But to be fair, I mean, they didn't know, you don't have any reason to believe that prior to the hearing, they knew that there was a residence within, or an alleged residence within 440 yards.
That's fair. That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, they heard it at that moment. I mean, we wouldn't want them to just say, oh, obviously that's not true. We would want them to investigate it.
Right.
And then the TCEQ, I'm not sure that I would agree with you that it was inconclusive. I think, you know, I mean, whether we agreed it would, they did a whole lot or not, basically they said that they, it did not appear to be a residence, and uncovered no additional information contradicting their assessment. Is that not correct?
I don't remember the precise words, but I that's probably a fair characterization. I do recall that they emphasized they could not verify the use of the property.
And that was done after the hearing, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. But I would just go back to the substantial evidence standard. We have a sworn affidavit by this gentleman talking about how his parents specifically used this building. That easily passes the definition of a residence.
Mr. Steinbach,
yes.
Does anything about our decision today preclude TXI from making an application tomorrow for the other type of permit?
The contested hearing?
Seeking the regular permit and having a contested case hearing? Or will it be res judicata or collateral estoppel so that they could never make it through that?
No, absolutely not. There is nothing precluding them from going back. And in fact, Your Honor, it's not in this record, but they did, in fact, reapply under this same standard permit with enhanced controls, simply moving
the bag slight area.
Yeah, moving it. But Your Honor, it's not in this record. I just wanted to mention that for full disclosure.
But it wasn't a contested hearing.
No, it wasn't a contested case. But absolutely. I mean, this is an important point, and I think they cover in their brief. They talk about, well, there's no process. There's no mechanism for us to, you know, take testimony or do discovery. Use the other permitting process. You know, that's what's available to you. This permit is meant really when the essential facts are not in dispute. And so often for these kinds of things, they aren't. You know, it's either within 440 yards or it isn't. And if the agency can verify that, they ought to be able to move forward. But yeah, there is another permitting mechanism available to them. I also wanted to address TXI's proposed definition of residence. It does not work for this scheme. So they have pulled the definition of a second residence, actually, as a construction of the word domicile that appeared in the former venue statute. And that is completely far afield of what the legislature is trying to do in this statute. The venue statute is just trying to establish a defendant's relationship with the county of suit and how permanently established they are. But of course, there's no requirement for permanence in this. The legislature is trying to be protective of anyone within any kind of residence, no matter how permanent it was.
Steinbach, in the work that I did in the trial court, I had people living in sheds with no plumbing and no toilets, no electricity. Arguably, could that be the case here where, however, you know, the little sheds that you can pop into your backyard and poof, now we have a residence. Is that a viable option under this permit that could preclude getting a permit?
Well, I think that it's important that it would have to be, of course, a fact, you know, case by case determination. I think that there's a certain line between maybe a residence and camping that might be a little bit, you know, fuzzy. But Your Honor, you make a great point that a residence doesn't necessarily mean a single detached family home with a white picket fence. And I mean, our concern is an overly narrow definition of residence being applied here that could exclude maybe less traditional, more rustic kinds of living situations that ought to be protected. And we know that the legislature had broad protections in mind. I think we mentioned this in our brief, because if you look at the other categories, that are subject to this 440-yard limit, mm-hmm. places of worship, schools. Those aren't occupied, you know, every day out of the year, obviously. And so an overly restrictive definition, I think, is inappropriate here. And I would just like to address the due process issue as I'm running out of time. They were provided due process. Due process requires notice and an opportunity to be heard. And they certainly had both of those. They had notice at the public meeting where Mr. Knott, you know, stepped up to the front and made his statement, entered his affidavit, and they had an opportunity to obtain that affidavit. Yes, it's correct. I think this was also discussed earlier. It was put up on TCEQ's website after the hearing. And even if they couldn't find it on the website, they could have simply asked the permit, you know, review team, hey, we'd like a copy of that affidavit. And there's nothing in the record to show they were ever denied access to the affidavit, anything like that. They simply didn't, they didn't move on it. The other thing too, I would point out, is there's simply no communication from them whatsoever. They could have also just said, hey, we would like to a chance to investigate this ourselves. You know, please give us, you know, a certain number of days so that we could look into this. It was just radio silence after the public meeting. And so the executive director, you know, made the move forward with it. He had a clock that was ticking on his deadline to make that decision. So they were provided notice. And also, there's multiple issues here, but also with regard to any complaints about the process before the executive director made his decision, that wasn't preserved, because they did not include that in their motion to overturn.
Mr. Steinbach, one more question.
Yes.
Do you agree with Mr. Smith that the crucial question that we have to answer is which decision is final?
Yes, I think this case turns on what is the final appealable decision.
If we were to find that the overruling of the motion by law is the final decision, how would that change then your argument? Then would you agree with Mr. Smith that it goes back?
Well, I would say if the court considered that, which would mean considering his photographs or their photographs and the documents, even then, the substantial evidence supports the decision. Because I
so
think
then
as
why is that such an imperative question? Now I'm going to ask, you know, what the chief asked Mr. Smith. Then if it doesn't matter, you know, if your position is we still look at substantial evidence, regardless of which, then why is it important which one is the final decision?
Well, I think for the merits of this case, I think you're right. I think either way it would pass substantial evidence. But I guess for the administrative law point, it's important to maintain consistency on what is and what isn't a final appealable decision of the commission. And we think the city of Austin is crystal clear on that point.
Any Thank other you. Questions, justices?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Steinbach. Thank you. Mr. Smith, for rebuttal.
I'd like to address briefly this idea that the appeal to the commissioners is a motion for a new trial. I don't think it's the same thing, because there's not actually a standard of review specified in the statute for what the commissioners can consider when reviewing the executive director's decision, unlike a judicial appeal to a court. So I don't think they're confined the way perhaps a court would be confined to the administrative record. So I'd also point out, and this came out in the discussion with Mr. Steinbach, is that the lack of procedures in the enhanced control permit. And it's correct that when the legislature enacted the statute, there are no discovery-related procedures. But they did so with the knowledge of that internal appeal, because that was already there. They codified it in the sections of the Clean Air Act that authorized that appeal to the commissioners. So when the enhanced controls permit was enacted, it was done with the knowledge that there's this backup, there's this mechanism to go to the commissioners if the ED got it wrong. And I think that has to be considered here. And that's different than an appeal simply to, like, a motion for a new trial or looking just an administrative appeal to a court.
But I guess, and not to sound redundant, you know, if the commissioner looks at the new evidence and decides we are still of the mind with the ED, and literally writes one page that says, your motion is denied. I mean, isn't that your due process right there?
That would address the due process. I agree with you. The problem is here, we don't know if they considered it. The distinction is, if the commissioners did what you're suggesting, all we would have is a substantive, we'd right. be arguing about the evidence. I agree with you. That would be it. The problem is here, we don't know that our appeal was actually considered because of the arguments that were being urged, which the state now disagrees with. But before the commissioners are being told by their staff, don't consider this because our procedures don't let TCI have or TXI have a right to do that. If the commissioners agreed with their staff, then the TCEQ commissioners, who are the commission, never considered the merits of the additional evidence. So I would argue we don't know how they would rule.
Let me do another play off that. It's kind of similar in the law. You know, we as appellate judges, we see a battle between two parties at the trial court level of motions for summary judgment, and each motion has got 10 or 15 elements in it from each side, and we get a one-page decision from the trial court that says, your motion's granted, yours is denied. It's what we get. And the law allows us to look at every argument known to mankind, and if it supports the granting of a motion, any one of them, even though it wasn't the one in the mind of the judge, the trial judge, then we affirm it. Why isn't that the same here? Regardless of what the commission did, one way or the other, you've got them, at the end of the day, the ED's decision stands because they denied your motion for review. We don't know why they did that, but it just stands. And is it all because you tendered additional documents at the end between the ED decision and the commission decision? Is that the difference? Is it because unlike the motions, the dueling motions for summary judgment, you added extra evidence after the ED decision? Is that the difference?
That is a difference, yes. And I'd say the other difference is because we don't know, we don't know what was in the mind of the commissioners.
Right.
But the problem that makes this case harder is because one of the grounds, if they went with what their staff said, they violated the Clean Air Act requirement that they take up the appeal. And so it's a different situation because they never did that. We don't know that they actually made that consideration.
Do you agree that it was TXI's burden of proof walking into that public hearing to prove that there was no residence within 440 yards?
I disagree that there was a burden at the hearing. I agree that with the application, it is the burden of the applicant to prove that they're qualified under the terms of the standard permit. So I think I don't think that had to be made at the hearing.
That mean that you would have to exercise some due diligence before you tendered your application, where I looked at all this stuff, all these three structures, and I interviewed the landowner, and I talked to them, and I went and visited with them, and I know there are no residences here, and here is my affidavit.
That's correct. There has to be due diligence, and in fact, in this case, there was due diligence in that the application itself had a map which showed here's the 440-yard circle, and that map's attached to Mr. Knopp's affidavit too. And I think my response to that is that building, there's nothing to alert even someone doing due diligence that building would be claimed as a residence under a reasonable person. Not could someone be camping out in there? I guess theoretically possible, but that's not something that would. It's nothing that obviously appears that would have been caught on any due diligence, and I'm sure my client wouldn't have applied for it had they actually thought that this was a residence. They would have moved the back house. But
and I'll let you wrap up with a
okay.
Judge,
final.
Can I ask one more question?
Of course, yes.
You're urging that we shouldn't consider it like a motion for a new trial, which in a motion for a new trial, one of the reasons you can argue is newfound evidence. As an appeal, which is what the Clean Air Act offers, We don't usually have new evidence on an appeal in the strictest of terms. So isn't it, if what you're asking for is an appeal under the Act, wouldn't that pretty much not allow your client to put on any more evidence?
So in the district court case, we actually tried to depose Mr. Knopp. And we were not allowed to do that. So because we could not add additional evidence before the court. But I think before the TCEQ, there's nothing in the statutes that would prevent the commissioners from considering the additional evidence that we found. So I think I agree with you that the law is we can't bring additional evidence to the courts, but we could bring additional evidence of after the ED's decision to the commissioners. So I'll wrap up, Your Honors. This case, as you can tell, for my client is more than about this farmer's bill plan. It's really about precedent and the concern of allowing someone to come in and just make an allegation and boom, there's not a way to, no matter how expeditiously you try to investigate and present new evidence, there's not a real way to have that allegation considered with potential contrary evidence. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, counsels. The case will be submitted and the court will stand in recess. Thank you very much. Y'all can be excused.
All three rise.